Hi, I'm Rob.
And I'm Robin.
Thanks for listening to
Marriage and Us.
Each week, we will talk about real-life topics
that couples experience in everyday married life.
So, let's get to today's episode. Welcome back, everybody.
Hey, guys.
Thanks for tuning in today. So, here we are. Down in our podcast corner.
Yes.
As you've called it.
Yes.
One of my favorite phrases.
Legendary.
I wonder if we should get that trademarked. I'm not sure somebody else has used that podcast corner.
Wow.
Maybe you noticed a couple of weeks ago on our Instagram, Facebook, we had a picture of our podcast corner. It's in our basement.
Yes. So everyone can see where we work.
Yes. We don't live in our basement.
No.
We have a bedroom and
we do have more to our house.
Living room and a kitchen yet. So we don't live in our parents' basement or anything like that. So I just want to make sure to clarify.
Not dissing those who do.
No, absolutely. Maybe. If that's where you're at,
yes,
great.
You need to.
Mm-hmm. Do your thing. I mean, if you're 50 and you're living in your mom's basement, that could be another topic. But that's not our show today, folks. Also, hey, I've still got to say it. I love the picture of you as the Queen of England.
Oh, man.
I hope everybody saw that. That was just priceless.
You can refer to me as your Royal Highness for the remainder of the episode, if you don't mind.
Yes, ma'am. This is part two. We started last week on a productive conflict.
Yeah.
I understand the importance of that. We've introduced, obviously, to you the foreign language. And again, I hope you're seeing all these things are really going to tie in together. Going back and looking at that, we gave a few definitions
last week.
Again, a productive mindset. People with a productive mindset tend to anticipate roadblocks and begin working on solutions in advance. Then when you understand that most of the time conflict comes from being misunderstood, it can trigger a deep emotional unmet need. And that can come from your childhood. We touched on generational habits. We're going to talk probably a little bit more about that today. But then we kind of summarized that by our definition, which was you learn to listen to each other's concerns.
Yes.
You hear the problem honestly. Mm-hmm. And then you reach a plan of resolution together.
It's good.
Yeah.
I like it.
With that in mind.
Yes.
We've got 10 things that we've observed and applied to our own life and that we've encouraged others to do, put it on their fridge, tattoo it on their arm, whatever the case may be, some couples.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. So why don't we just dive into that a little bit. Robin, talk about number one there for us.
Okay. So when you're arguing, it may be hard to recognize this in the moment. So this first one, I think, is most helpful if you can look back on an argument that you've already had and you ask yourself, what was my motive in having that argument?
Mm.
It can be very telling. And I think it's really great. I don't know how many of you like to journal, but you know, if you ask yourself this question, just kind of sit and just, you know, just write whatever comes to mind as to what your motive is, because I think it's really important that you find the answer to this question, because your motive will set the tone for how you act in an argument. For example, if your motive is just to point out the faults in your spouse, and we talked last week about the U-bombs, you know, you, when you do this and you do that, not, you know, and you keep using that word you, that you is like a pointing finger in their face.
Oh, that's so good.
You know, and it's hard if you're the recipient of that.
Because you feel, eventually you feel like you're being pushed into a corner.
Yes.
And nobody puts baby in a corner. Sorry, could not pass that up.
Wow.
So, but when you can
reel it back in.
Yeah, reel it back in. But when you start feeling, again, attacked.
Right. And those are attacking words to, you know, to keep referring to you, you know, your partner as the one who's doing everything wrong. When you really look at your motive and start reflecting it back on yourself, I think that then you can find the answer.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, which leads to what you're going to see with these 10 things that we're going to, they all overlap, and we're going to go back and touch and tie them all in together. As you're sharing that, point two that we usually bring to people's attention, are you trying to share something or are you trying to tell something?
Yes. This is such a good one.
Yeah. And so, but again, look how that ties in together. What is your motive?
Mm-hmm.
So, and we're just going to keep repeating these as we go down. You'll see there's a pattern here. Are you trying to share something? Or are you trying to tell something?
Right. Again, are you giving information or ammunition?
Oh, that's good.
You know?
Absolutely.
And what makes conflict become productive, if you can first learn how to relay information.
Right.
Instead of thinking, man, when I talk to
him. Or share. You know, that might be an easier
word. Sharing versus the ammunition.
Again,
like, I am just really going to let this person have it.
Think about the difference. Sharing, again, we touched on this last week. Understand the importance that it's an opportunity for me to learn something about my spouse.
Right.
So sharing is an opportunity. Telling is, this is the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, I think you said this last week as well, too, when you understand that an argument comes from you don't like the answer.
Oh, right. It's either you misunderstand what each other has said, or you really understand what each other has said, and you don't like what was said.
You said it this way. I just found this, but you are dissatisfied with the result.
Right.
Now you're telling, you're not sharing.
Right.
And that's a big difference. And again, we want to encourage you as you listen to these, you can make these changes. I know we say this all the time, and it's not that we just repeat it for the sake of repeating it, but the frustration when you're in the midst of an argument seems, I think we touched on this before, we can make that one temporary moment into something permanent. And that's when you have to be aware that you can start becoming emotionally disconnected from your spouse because you already assume.
Right.
Or you have expectation. This is just the way it's going to go. When you're making statements, we always end up in this place.
Mm-hmm.
Or this is the way it is. Those are telling words that you need to be aware of and hear yourself saying that and try to break that cycle.
Yes, absolutely.
Number three, what is that one?
When you discuss something is as important as how you discuss something.
Yes.
So not only are you learning how to relay information to your partner, even in disagreement, it is so important to know when to do this.
Exactly.
And I think that the timing, you know, it may tie back to what we were talking about a few episodes back with the feeler, the thinker, and the person who's action driven. Feeler, because they feel disconnected, will often, like, I just can't stand this feeling another minute. I've got to talk to you about this right now. And so the when sometimes is thrown out the window because of the uncomfortability that they feel.
Mm.
And so they jump the gun and pick moments when it's not maybe so conducive to get into some deep discussion or argument.
And then would you say I think we introduced this a couple episodes back. You can flood somebody with your words.
Yes.
And that can happen when you've been at such a place where you've not feel heard or seen and you just explode or word vomit on somebody because the fear is I'm never going to be heard. So I've got to get it all out right now. And you turn again a situation into something that is so layered that, you know, and this can be men or women that you're literally drowning. That's what that means. You're drowning in words because you don't even know how to give the answer to the first question because you're already six questions in.
Right.
And that can.
Right. If your partner's just, flooding, continuing to talk. By the time they finally stop talking, now the partner that's heard this very long word vomit, as you've said,
right,
doesn't really know where to begin, right? That's what I hear you saying. They've already forgotten what the first part of the word vomit was because now we're in so deep that they're so overwhelmed, they're silent.
Yes. And you said this a couple of weeks ago. You've got to learn how to pause. I love this, and ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to be willing to ask tough questions and then listen for the answer, not listening to react. We talked about that before.
Right.
That sometimes you're like going, I just can't wait for them to quit talking because I'm going to jump in here and let them have it. Because
oh, sure.
That's a dangerous thing
to
do.
I think that all of us can learn to listen better. You know, I think that times we
did you say something? Sorry.
I think that we think we're listening, but really, are we? Because we're waiting for our partner to come up for a breath of air so we can jump in. And, you know, and honestly, a lot of that is it's reaction more than response.
Are you
to
sharing
each other.
Or telling something? Back right. to point two.
Yes, absolutely.
That's a big deal. And you said this the last time, be willing to ask your spouse, how are you perceiving? And I get it. We're not asking you to do anything. We were so vulnerable on the last episode, talked about that we had an argument ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So the things we're telling you, we still apply to our daily life.
Right. And there's not going to be this moment for anyone where it's like,
any couple.
We've got it. And all we have now is productive conflict.
Exactly.
No, there are going to be times, you know, we can talk all day about don't react and learn how to respond. Cause that's like another big
right.
point that we talk about so much. Slow down. Like an argument is something that normally moves faster and faster. But in anything we're talking about, there are still going to be those moments where it's not productive.
No,
where
exactly.
But hopefully you have tools that then you can easily go back and mend
yes.
whatever happened. At church recently, we had heard a statement where they're talking about repairing. I was trying to, and repairing is such an interesting word.
Yes.
You know,
it's actually Maddie.
Yeah. Maddie was sitting with us in church, Maddie and
our
Jared.
Daughter.
Yeah. And so our pastor, he began to talk about repairing things. And then she looked at me and goes, wow, that's an interesting word. Like right in the middle of church, I was like, that's an interesting word. Because repairing, when you think about it with couples, there is a repairing. Repairing.
Yes. So she's so smart.
She is. She's brilliant, yeah. right? So to repair.
She gets that from both of us. Notice how I did that?
So
both of us benefit.
Good move.
Yeah, thanks. So with that in mind, we've touched on this a lot. In fact, we just said, you're trying to learn something, not win something.
Yeah, right.
There is no gold star.
Right.
There's no big Scooby-Doo stuffed animal that you're going to get for this. It's, again, you're trying to learn something, not win something. That
yes.
was a big turning point, wouldn't you say, for us?
Yes.
And how we argued. How we said this last night, how we learned to say thank you to each other. And I know that seems so weird when you're in the mess, but that's the difference between arguing. I just made that up. And fighting.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big difference. So
yes.
Verse 5. I'm quoting the scripture.
Number 5.
Productive conflict, verse 5. Which is what was number 5?
Number 5 is asking ourselves this question, could it be that the way I'm doing it might be wrong? Ooh.
That's tough.
Mm. Yikes.
That's tough. I think you see this one. So I want to say this the right way. So don't hear me saying this in a negative term. I'm not. There is a tendency right now that we've noticed that couples get married in their mid to late 30s. That has been a trend recently. So with that in mind, we just want to throw this out to you, understanding at that point, you've lived a lot of your life somewhat by yourself, even if you've been dating.
Mm-hmm.
You carry into the relationship, you carry into the marriage how you do things. Remember, we talked about the couple that argued over how they folded the towels and what that looked like.
Mm-hmm.
Very important then that you understand that maybe the way I'm doing it, it's okay to look at it from another perspective because that's why I got married. I don't want to do things by myself.
Right.
Because I know this without a doubt. You have brought out the best in me.
Oh, thanks. I feel the same way.
I've changed a lot. Some things I'm better at, whether it's putting clothes in the hamper or whatever the case may be. They're not by the couch anymore. Sometimes they make it in the hamper. Sometimes they're still on top. But you've still loved me through those things. And sure, we've not allowed, as we've said before, we've not allowed that to become something permanent. It's not a problem that's bigger than the relationship.
Yes. It makes me think to our pastor, Jeff Dollar. Woohoo! He wrote a book, and I love the title because it's Letting Go of the Need to Be Right. Mm. And I was just thinking about that, where he talks about, you know, can you own your 2%? You know, let's just say the person you're maybe in a little bit of a conflict with, let's say they are 98% wrong. Let's just say they were. But maybe you're 2%.
Can you own that 2%?
Can you own the 2%? You know, so I love that. It's yes, like to experience the power of humility, right?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Number six?
Number six, remind yourself that you're trying to lean in so you can learn something about your spouse.
Absolutely.
Focus. Listening.
Listening.
Paying attention. Maybe even asking questions. And now, and all of this is happening when you slow down, which is really, listen, if you, this takes some discipline to do this, but to slow down in the argument. Exactly. Enough.
Which is number seven, slow mm-hmm. down, mm-hmm. learn to pause so you respond instead of react.
React, yes, exactly. Because we, in argument, it's the first thing I know that you want to jump to. Because most of us want to protect ourselves in the argument. We want to protect our opinions. We want to protect what we think. We want to protect our right to do it the way. And honestly, sometimes I wonder if, and I know I could say I've been guilty of this, where you really, you argue, you keep arguing because what you want your partner to say is, you know what, you're right.
Mm.
You know what? And we're waiting for those buzzwords, if you will, that then let us know, okay. And that goes back to the win.
Right.
Then, okay. And then I won.
And I don't want people to hear, there are times where you need to say, yes, you were right. We're not
absolutely
in our argument. I mean, I said that to you. I said,
right.
I want you to understand this concept or what we were trying to do. You were right in that. I was pushing back. It was on me, not you, what we were trying to do. And I think that's important to acknowledge that, which goes back
yes,
to—
yes, that there are times, but if every time you argue, no, all it is to get your partner to tell you you're right.
Because you're trying to avoid confrontation in that. That's what you're really trying to do. You're trying to say, if I just do, and there's fixers. We've all been guilty of this, where it's just easier to say you're right, so the situation just goes away. But it's never,
you feel like it's fixed.
Yeah, but it's really not resolved.
Right.
Exactly.
It's really not. And that's why it keeps coming around.
Yeah. Oh, look here. Number eight goes right with that.
If the same questions keep coming up, you're probably talking your own language instead of your partner's.
Yes. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we talked about the foreign language a lot in the first couple episodes. But that is a key factor to understanding how to argue well. And I know we keep repeating some of these things over and over again, but you've got to ask yourself, if you've been married a year, if you've been married 20 or 30 years, and like what we said with the other one, if you've not learned to slow down yet, mm-hmm. and you just keep revving up, you know, what we call the volcano stage, you know, where you just like, you keep having the same argument and then the smallest thing triggers that again and you're right back where you were. Mm-hmm. You've really not resolved the last argument.
No. And when you avoid conflict, it will get to that point that it feels like a volcano, because really conflict, the things that rub us the wrong way about each other, which again can come from misunderstandings, as well as hearing things we don't really want to hear.
Yeah.
As that keeps on coming around, even if you say, oh, I always avoid conflict. We don't argue. It will finally, the dam will break.
Absolutely.
You know? It's going to happen.
And that goes back to something we introduced on the last episode. Generational habits. You talked about the first people we see argue are our parents, our what a man looks like, what a woman looks like.
Yes.
And we've had this happen multiple times when we sit down with a couple and we ask them, so tell us what your childhood looked like.
Mm-hmm. What did arguing look like? Right.
And we're kind of smiling each other because we know the answers that we're about to give you, but they typically say one or two things. They usually say, well, my parents never argued in front of me. Mm-hmm.
Or they never argued.
Even that.
Yeah, my parents never argued. And then you'll have the other spouse say, they argued all the time.
All the time. And one has a tendency to think they have a better handle on it than the other one does.
Right, because they're proud. My parents didn't argue, and my poor spouse over here, his parents argued all the time.
But once we point out productive conflict and understand the foreign language, what they don't understand is neither one of them still got to see resolve.
Right. It doesn't matter if you saw your parents argue all the time and they never reached resolve, or they did argue, but it was away from you and you still didn't see resolve. You don't have the tools needed to know how to handle conflict. And that's usually the setup for people who run away from conflict because it's scary, it's bad, they have no understanding of it.
Right, because they have no tools. Again, so you wonder why when you're 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or 60, whatever the case, whatever your mm-hmm. age may be, that you don't know how to come to a place of resolve mm-hmm. because you never saw that. Mm-hmm. We tell parents—
Or the benefits of resolve, right? Because the benefits of the resolve, not only what it does for you individually, but as a couple,
right.
It reframes. When you get to that resolve, that is really the end result. That's the goal. I know goal is not always a good word, but that, you know, it's the benefit.
Right. You're trying to develop a pattern, a new pattern. Again, we test on this before, understanding you get to define what your relationship, what your marriage
is.
Looks mm-hmm. like. So point nine, feedback from each other requires, we've said this before again, mm-hmm. listening and agreeing, then hearing and taking action, which goes back to the word resolve.
Let's read that one again. I think that's such a great statement. Feedback from each other requires listening and agreeing, then hearing and taking action.
Now, why we touched on this, but why is that so important? What is that? What do you feel that says to a spouse when they feel they've been heard and then there's action taken? What?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it feels amazing.
Yeah.
I think everyone wants to feel heard.
There's a validation, you know, with that.
To be seen and heard is so very important. We were in a class the other night and the statement was made, everyone is looking for someone who's looking for them.
Yes.
In other words, connection. We were created for connection. And there is something that is so precious when you find, as a couple, when you find that place where both of you feel seen, you feel heard.
Because in that class,
and known.
Yes, because what happens is in that statement, listening and agreeing, then hearing and taking action, it engages your emotions, it engages your brain, which creates a file that says, when this happened, this action now takes place. So there's emotion, and you've got to have both. You've got to be able to have a plan, and then the actions should develop an emotional connection that says, I was heard.
Right.
My spouse didn't get it right all the time, but mm-hmm. they are trying
right.
to hear me and see me and give me. Again, speaking as a man, I'm not sure how men think that they can function and not realize that change has to take place to connect to their spouse. And I hate when I see movies and there's those jokes. Well, all she wants me to do is listen. All she wants me to do is talk about her feelings. Well, you need to do the same.
Yes.
And you've heard me say this to countless men. Vulnerability is a strength word for me, not a weakness.
Right.
I'm not less of a man because I share my emotions and because I want to connect with you on an emotional level. That helps me love you more.
So good.
Yeah.
right? That is just
I know we say it all the time. I love being married.
Yeah, it's the best.
It's the greatest thing ever. It really is. Number 10.
Okay, last one.
We talked about it last week.
And we always end our argument with thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's amazing what that does.
Mm-hmm. We go back to a place of gratitude.
Yes, exactly. When we were having our argument, we talked about this in last episode, I sat and calmed myself down and I began to just in my heart and in my mind have appreciation moments for you.
Mm.
Like snapshots. That's one of my, I told you this earlier, it's one of my favorite things you do. You'll sometimes look at me and you'll have a pretend camera going click.
Yeah, when it's a special moment. And, yeah, I love to do that. Hold it up. Yeah, I'm good.
And you want to remember. So that's what I did. And again, because I know you're for me,
mm-hmm.
not against me. I'm for you and you're for me. So that just brings me back to such a place of, it levels out my heart and my mind. And again, I remind myself how big our relationship is and that there's no problem. I really believe there's no problem we cannot get through as long as we keep the relationship in the forefront.
So good, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, guys, we just want to say thank you for listening.
Look for the notes, the little link in this episode. You'll be able to see that and download that.
Put it on your fridge.
If we hear one of you get back to us and say point number five helped or whatever the number is, that's what it's all about. We want you to have a great marriage. We want you to, if you're thinking about giving, we want you to start out with the proper tools so you can have a successful marriage.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Good foundation. Building a good foundation.
Look forward to next week.
Yeah. I guess we're just going to maybe make it a surprise what we're going to talk about next
week. Let's do that. We'll make it a surprise.
Yeah.
Maybe you can reach out, give us a phone call. We're still waiting on the numbers out there. You're going to hear it at the end. Call and give us some questions. If you're a little nervous, just say, hey, this is Anonymous Joe or whatever the case may be.
And just let us know.
But we'd love to hear some feedback from you. Our email will be at the bottom of this one as well, too. If you'd rather just write us, ask us a question, that'll be available, too. But again,
sounds great.
We appreciate you listening. It really means the world to us. See you next time.
All right. Bye.
You've been listening to Marriage and Us with your hosts, Robin Adkins. Stay up to date by following them on Instagram at @marriageandus_podcast and on Twitter at @marriageandus. Be a part of the show by calling 615-821-0866 and submit a question. Who knows? You might hear yourself on the podcast. Also, hit the follow button so you never miss an episode from your favorite couple.